Hi, this is Rabbi Eric Levy, and I am pleased to bring to you the 7th and the 8th Mishnah of the 4th chapter of Bava Metzia for OU's Shnayim Mishnah program. Mishnah 7, Mishnah Zayin, begins by repeating what was stated in Mishnah Gimel, Mishnah 3. Ha'ona'ah arba kesef, ona'ah for goods is when you overcharge or undercharge by 4 silver ma'ot out of 24. As I mentioned back in Mishnah Gimel, it's not clear whether that means that you bought $20 worth of goods for $24, which would be one-sixth of a gouge, or you bought something that was supposed to be worth $24 for $28, which would be seven-sixths of a gouge. But that's a separate issue. Our Mishnah actually is simply going to digress from that point into different peripherally related topics regarding percentages of money. V'hata'ana shtei kesef, v'ha'hoda'a shave pruta. A claim must be 2 silver ma'ot of a sella, which is 1/12 of a sella, and the admission must be 1 pruta. And here's what that means. If you make a claim that somebody has money of yours, like you loan somebody money they didn't give it back to you, and the person admits that he has some of your money, but not as much as you claim that he owes you, in that case, the law is the person who is the person who's being, I guess, the defendant. That's not really right, the right word. The person who admits that he has some of the money has to swear in front of a court that he does owe a little bit of the money, but not the full amount being claimed by the plaintiff. However, the amount that is being claimed has to be worth at least 2 silver ma'ot, because if it's not, there's not enough of a claim there to force somebody to swear to something. In addition, the person who admits that he has some of the money, but not all of the money, must claim that he or she has at least 1 pruta. Actually, it could also be that he has that he admits everything except for 1 pruta, but the amount of denial on either side has to be 1 pruta. Less than that is simply not considered real money, and therefore we wouldn't force them into swearing of what they actually believe that they owe. A pruta, by the way, is 1/32nd of a ma'a, a silver ma'a. And therefore, it's 1 out of 768 of a sella. It's a very small amount of money. Today, probably, just as a guess, it would be equal to just a few modern pennies. Although, for halakhic purposes that we're going to talk about in a second, we tend to be stricter in modern times and say it's worth more. What are those halakhic purposes? So, chamesh prutotein. There are 5 times when a pruta is defined as the minimum value for certain halakhic principles. First, hoda'a shaver pruta. As we stated, if a person admits to a pruta or more, only then are they required to take an oath on the matter of how much they actually owe a person or don't owe a person. Second, ha'isha mitkadesh b'shaver pruta. One of the ways to marry a woman is for a man to give her and for her to accept an item of recognizable value. It's kesef or shava kesef in the Mishnah of Kiddushin. That value that you must give and that she must accept has to be no less than a pruta. There's actually a machloket over in that Gemara between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai, but we follow Beit Hillel that the amount has to be no less than a pruta in ordinary circumstances, assuming that it's an ordinary person giving to another ordinary person. Obviously, we use a plain gold ring today in most circumstances, and that's more than a pruta anyway. Third, hanene b'shaver pruta min hekdesh ma'al. Somebody who benefits from hekdesh. Now, hekdesh is when you say, I want, or actually not even when you say, but when somebody says, I want these fruits to be given to a kohen or given to the Beit HaMikdash for use, you're allowed to make things essentially holy. They take on a status of holiness. So you're not allowed to benefit from them, to eat it, or to use it, or to profit on it. So if you do, the amount that you ate or benefited from must be worth 1 pruta or more, transgress the law. So you can imagine a case where if I eat a whole bunch of grapes that were designated to be used in the Beit HaMikdash, or designated for a Kohen, so in that case I would have to pay... we'll see how much you actually have to pay in the next Mishnah, but if I only ate like a half a grape and it wasn't worth a pruta, assuming that it's not worth a pruta, it might be, but assuming that it's not, then I really do not transgress the law of taking benefit out of things which are holy. Fourth item, hamotzi shaveh pruta chayav l'achriz. Someone who finds a lost item, only if that lost item is worth one pruta or more do you have to go out and cry, not cry, but to announce that you found something and try to find the owner. If it's less than a pruta, you do not. Finders, keepers. Va'gozel et chaviro shaver pruta v'nishbalo yolichenu acharav afilu l'madai. And finally, if one steals from somebody and lies about it under oath, and then admits that he lied about it, so obviously money has to be given back to the owner. What's different, however, is that you can't give it to a messenger to give it to the owner. You, in that case, where you lied about it and then admitted that you had stolen it, and now you have to give it back, you have to give it back directly into the hands of the owner. And even if the owner goes to Madai, which obviously the Mishnah means the ends of the knowable earth, you have to hand it to them directly. You cannot use a proxy to return the money that you owe him. And in all these cases, we're going to see that it's not just the principal that you owe in many of these cases, but it's more than the principal. And that is the topic of the next Mishnah, Mishnah 8. Again, it's only peripherally related to the laws of Ona'ah, and just as there are five times when a pruta is defined as the minimum value, so too there are five times when the concept of Chomesh applies. And we'll talk about what Chomesh is in a second. Chamisha Chomshin Hain. There are five times when you have to pay Chomesh. Now, if you remember back in Mishnah 6, I mentioned the idea of Maser Sheni. Maser Sheni was where you have to eat the fruit, 10% of your produce, you get to eat it on year 1, 2, and 4, and 5 of the Shemitah cycle, but you have to eat in Jerusalem. If you don't want to eat in Jerusalem, you have to essentially exchange the goods for money. The money becomes holified. I'm sure that's not a real word, but it becomes pseudo-holy, and that money can be taken up to Jerusalem and can be used in its stead. And as I said, you can't exchange one for one. In order to sort of suck the holiness out of the fruit and place it onto the money, there has to be more money than the principle of what the fruit or whatever the goods are worth. How much is that? That will turn out to be a chomesh, which, as we'll discuss in a little bit, is 5/4 of the original amount. So let's see which things you need to pay 5/4 on. Ha'ochel truma v'trumat maser. So one who eats truma, if you remember, I mentioned back in Mishnah 6, truma are taxes that always go to the priest each one of the years, except for Shemitah, to eat. And that usually is 2%, although it's not entirely defined. What I didn't mention is that the Levi also has to give from his tithe. If you remember, a Levi gets his Maaser Rishon every single year, 1 through 6 of the 7-year cycle, except for Shemitah. But I didn't mention that the Levi has to take 1/10 of what their 1/10 and give it to a Kohen as well. That's called Truma Maser, or Truma from the tithe that was given to the Levi. Or even if it was Truma Maser Shel Demai, which means you bought goods from a Levi and you're not sure whether the Levi had separated his Trumat Maser from him. That's an oversimplification, but for now it's okay. Or if one eats challah. Challah is when you're baking bread or large amounts of dough, you have to take off a little piece of that and separate it out. Today we burn it, but it would be considered truma. And finally, if one eats bikurim, bikurim are the first fruits of the year, which are supposed to be brought to Kohanim for them to eat. So in all these cases of truma or pseudo-truma, if one eats from them, one is obligated to pay back chomesh, meaning an extra fifth, which, now I'll describe it a little bit more, is considered an outside fifth. And let me explain what that means. An inside fifth would work like this. Let's say you ate $100 of truma fruit. If you were paying an inside fifth, you would simply take a fifth of the principal, or $20, add that to the principal, and that would be $125 that you would have to pay back to sort of alleviate the fact that you ate from Kodesh that you shouldn't have. But that's not the way Chomesh actually works. Chomesh is actually an outside fifth, meaning 5/4 of the principal. And what that means is that, let's say you ate the $100 worth of fruit, you would have to pay $125 to sort of exchange the holiness out of the fruit and make everything right, and that's 5/4 of the principal value. Now, the second thing that you have to pay this chomesh for, this 5/4 for, is hapoden neta ravayu maiser sheni shelo mosik chomesh. So as I mentioned, in the first case, by the truma, you actually kind of did something wrong by eating or taking or benefiting from truma, which you weren't supposed to because you're not a kohen. In this case, you actually can benefit from the items. I mentioned that in year 1, 2, and 4 and 5 of the cycle, you get to take your fruit to Jerusalem. Or if you can't afford to do that because it's too heavy, too much fruit to carry, or you simply don't want to, so you can exchange it for cash, and that cash becomes sort of a holified, and that cash can then be taken to Jerusalem to spend on pizza, ice cream, what have you. Neta Ravai is similar. Neta Ravai has to do with fruit of the trees. For the first 3 years of a tree's life, the fruit that grows on it is called orla. You're not allowed to touch it. You have to let it fall and rot. In the fourth year, you can eat from the fruit, but again, only in Jerusalem. Or, again, if you want to, you can exchange all the fruit that grew in the fourth year of a tree's life for principal plus chomesh, for 125%, and take that to Jerusalem and spend it on pizza and steak and whatever you like. The third thing that chomesh, the third rule that chomesh applies to is apodet hekdesho mosik chomesh. So hekdesho is where you declare your own goods to be holy. So what you do is you sort of say, hey, I want this field of tomatoes to be used only by Kohanim or only used in the Beit HaMikdash. So you've essentially holified your fruit. And then you kind of change your mind, or you don't want to bring up all the fruit. So what you could do is you could exchange that fruit for cash plus chomesh, principal plus chomesh, and then the money can be given to the Beit HaMikdash / Kohanim, and you can eat your tomatoes to your heart's content, or sell them, or do anything else you want. Item number 4, Hanane b'shaver pruta min ahekdesh mosif chomesh. So if you benefit a pruta's worth or more, because less than a pruta, it doesn't matter, but if you use one pruta or more of hekdesh, somebody else made something that was hekdesh, like, I don't know, you accidentally ate a tomato or fruit that was meant for a Kohen, or that somebody was makdish to Hashem, and you goofed. So in that case, in addition to the sacrifice called the Korban Me'ilah, you also have to make payment for the amount that you ate, and that payment is not 1 for 1, but 5 for 4, or chomesh. Finally, the last item, the fifth item of chomesh, is Hagozel et Chaviro Shaver Pruta V'Nishbalo. As you mentioned in the previous Mishnah, there's a case where you steal from somebody, you deny you stole it in a court, you take an oath that you didn't steal it, and then I guess you feel guilty and you say, I really did steal it. In that case, not only, as we said in the last Mishnah, do you have to follow that guy around the world in order to give him back his money directly, you also have to give him 125% of the principal that you stole. You have to give him the principal and the chomesh.